We always start a new parak. Okay. So we're on the fifth parak. It's a relatively short parak, but there's a lot to say about it. So, let's start. So just to bring us up to a date, B'nai Yisrael have crossed over the Jordan miraculously, and word of this is well known throughout, and the nations see them coming. So Vehikishmo, Kol Machiar Mori, Asher Beva Yarde Nyama, Vachol Magi Kanani Asher Al Hayam, Esa Shehevi Hovish Adonoi, Esmea Yarde Nebne Israel, Ad Avarnu, Avarun, I imagine that's supposed to be. Vayimaslivavon Vahoyabom Odu Elpib Nebne Israel. They see this and they just give up. They think that there's no way they have any chance whatsoever. So, what do you do at that point? So, if I was them, I would start waving a white flag, right? So, it's interesting. If you look at the Rambam has the following opinion. Again, this isn't something that's agreed by everybody. The Rambam writes, Shloshik Savim Shal Yoshua Ashro Nichnas Aretz. Yoshua sent three letters prior to entering the land of Israel. The first letter says, if you want to make a run for it, this would be a good time for you to leave. And one nation actually took him up on the offer. Second letter says, if you'd like to make a peace treaty, we're open to that. The third letter said, the third one says, if you're not going to leave and you're not going to make peace, we're going to have a war here. So that's the case. If making peace was an option, so we're going to read at some point about the Givonim. The Givonim are these people who pretend to be far away in order that they can make a peace treaty. So why did they have to put on this whole charade? Why didn't they just make peace when they and say, okay, we give up? So therefore, im came if they mayarima yoshve Givon. If that's the case, why did the Gibeonites, in fact, put on the charade? When the second letter came, they ignored it. They thought by the time the third letter came out, there was no longer a possibility of making peace. Therefore, they went through all of this. But the truth be told, according to the Rambam, they could have just gone straight forward and asked for peace, and that would have been fine. So these were options according to the Rambam. When we discuss the Givonim, we'll get other opinions as well. Okay, that's the end of that discussion. Now we move on. It's too bad Aver is not here. This is right up his alley. Be'esahi Amar Adonai El Yehoshua Aseh Lecha Charvos Tzurim V'shuv Moas B'nei Yisrael Sheinis. Very interesting pasuk, right? He says, all right, go get yourselves charvos tsurim. What's a cherev?
Sword.
What are tsurim?
Flintstones, no?
The Flintstones. Fred and Wilma. Right, so it sounds like swords made out of stone, right? Vishuv, and again, give B'nai Yisrael a second mila. That's like a threat. I'm one step closer, I'm giving you a second mila. So what does this mean? That go get yourself charvos tzurim and then go again and do a second mila. Very difficult pasuk to understand. There's a lot to be said about it. We start with the Malbim. So the first thing the Malbim does, if he says, if you look at the Targum on charvos tzurim, it says izmolin charifin. What's an izmol?
It's a scalpel.
A knife, right. Right? And what is charif?
Sharp.
So again, the way Targum Yonason translates it is not that you should go out and get yourself a stone sword, but get yourself a sharp knife. Okay, that fits a little better. That's how it goes. However, Bereshis Rabbah, Pirus Galbim de Timna, Pirus Tsurim. Right? That say it sounds clear that actually, no, they took a sharp rock. And they did the mila with that. Where else do you have someone doing a mila with a rock?
Moshe's wife.
Correct. Very good. Sipora.
Wait a minute. Sipora's wife. Tzipor does it with a rock?
It says, but Tikach Tzipor Tzor.
Sharpened stone.
Yep.
Tzipor did it to Moses?
To their son.
To her son.
Both her sons.
One.
Just one. And the other one. He got a regular
last
one.
Female moel.
Not true. Not true. So one, as you should know, according to the IJN, there are three moelim in Denver, and Rabbi Jacobs is the only male, according to the official IJN listing. Cool. It's interesting, but people that a few years ago used to daven in the shul came to me and told me that they had a grandchild in a different state, and when they went to the bris, it was a woman mile. And the woman said that they were surprised, but they pointed out that the Shulchan Aruch says a woman can be a moel, which is somewhat true.
I got turned away when I asked about her.
Yeah. So why don't you go for a shochet? It's about the same.
I didn't think of that, Rabbi.
Right? You still can. Shochet and moel, it's kind of the same job. It's just less malpractice insurance on the shochet. So we have machot. Ratzalom, the acher she'oz, he's aleim gam kin letarim mitumas meis, kvo she'kotzav chazal, chayim lo yochel lemurim becherev barzel, shu kli. He said there's a specific reason why they would use stone. Why? Because again, here they were going to the mikveh to become tahor, to become ritually pure, and a metal object, particularly a sword, would in fact potentially make them tamei again. Therefore, they specifically used a rock here. The mavur b'rambam chein molam b'tzur sheino kli v'shuv mol. So he said that here there was a second large group. So there's a question here, what did he use? Did he use a metal knife as normal, or for a special reason did he use a sharpened stone? If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in Hilchos Mila, he actually raises this. He says, B'chol molin, technically you can do a mila with anything. Afilu b'tzur v'zechuchis. You could do it even with a rock. You could even do it with a piece of glass.
Can you do it with a laser?
So it sounds b'chol. Sounds very broad, doesn't it? B'chol dover hakoreis chutz mi b'krumis shalkana. The only thing is you should not use a sharpened reed. Why not?
It splits.
It splits, and you could really hurt yourself.
Hurt the child.
Right. Yeah, but it's less likely. Lafisha ksavim nitozim, because a reed will split apart more easily. V'yavali kroshifcha, it'll be bad. V'nirali the ima filo talash ha'arva b'yadav shapir dami. Now that if you don't use anything, if you just rip it off with your hand, like real men do, then that would be okay.
Long. What? I want to see a real man.
All right, I talked to Ray Jacobs about this. The lobe in kli b'mila. He said, there's no rule, you have to use anything. Right? So again, if you could do that, a laser for sure would not be problematic. However, mitzvah min amufcha lomo b'barzel. It is preferable to use metal. Bein b'sakim, bein b'sarayim, whether you're using a knife, whether you're using scissors, v'nagu lomu b'sakim. Traditionally, we use a knife. V'yirah rishadav zimafurish b'yoshua. And he said, what's the source for this? V'ksiv ba'esahi amar Hashem v'yoshua aseilcha charvos tzurim v'shuv molas b'nei Yisrael. V'targim yonson, izmolin charifin. So as Yossi translated, izemel is a scalpel. Use a sharp scalpel. So if God told Yoshua, that's how I want you to do it, that, of course, v'chein pirish Rashi k'siv b'tehillim. So he says, u'midit tziva ha'kosh b'ach u'lomu b'barzo. If Hashem told you, this is how you're supposed to do it, sh'mami noda cheni ikra mitzvah. You see, that's the best way to do it. Ay, v'had k'siv atikha tzipora. So why did tzipora use a rock? Yishon she'ed b'derach, when is that v'sakin yafeh? Because she doesn't walk around with a scalpel. That's what she had. So again, so that we have this machokas, what was he told to use? And it happens to be important because lahalacha, we assume whatever Yehoshua was told to use is what we should use. Okay, that's it. Now what's...
And there's no problem with the fact that it's a second verse.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're not done with the pasuk. We just made it through the first two words here. Okay. Right? But, well, yes.
I have a question about what the Malden said.
Yeah.
That should Malden for the second time, only those you Malden the first time except for Shevet Levi.
Right.
But we know that everybody who left Mitzrayim died in the desert.
Oh, so let's...
So how could that be?
Well, Shevet Levi didn't die.
But they were not part of this mitzvah.
Correct, correct. So let's discuss this, because you're basically asking the same question. What do you mean we're doing a second bris milah? Right? As we pointed out, that's a very, we'll put it gently, an odd statement. Right? It's hard to understand. We start with the Rashi in Barshas Baal Oscha. So it says, B'chodesh HaRishon, right? This is talking about Korban Pesach. Parsha Shebarosh Yevro Nemra Ad Ir. So Rashi points out that this parsha is out of order. That the Torah doesn't necessarily have to follow chronological order. Okay, but usually, unless there's a reason otherwise, the Torah does go in chronological order. Why did it go out of order? Why didn't you say it there? He said that this would have been an embarrassment to Bnei Yisrael. Why? For 40 years in the desert, only one time did they bring the Korban Pesach. So that's difficult to understand.
So
why didn't they bring
it? What's one thing they have to do then?
We're going to sequitur soon. Just hold on to your nine. We're all going to sequitur in the end. Right? So right now the question is, well, why didn't they bring a Korban Pesach? It's such a strange thing. Right? Here they were, the Midbar, the Dardea, they were at such a high level. They decide to take Pesach off? So that's what Tosfos and Kedushin wants to know. Tosfos, what's Rashi talking about? They didn't do it.
They didn't have too many hotels in the desert.
That's the problem. It was a lot like Arizona.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was the same.
So they had Pesach
right.
Dictus.
Right. So let's talk about this. Why would a mana be Pesach Dictus? Any flower involved? How of a nemra be a batarstam? Pirsh parshas baros la chodesh visham pirsh Rashi the parshas baros sefer o nemra ad ear lamata she mukta mucha batara vo pasach vizum neshu genusim she yisrael she kol arvim shana how you be So you saw the midrash of Hikruv of Pesach Zubelvad. Okay, Tosfos quotes this Rashi. Very little. That's a little out of the order, not unheard of. But that Tosfos in Kedushin is quoting a Rashi on Chumash. It's a little strange, but that's fine. Nothing worth really knowing that much. Vim Toma Vromi Krivu. So Wataka, why didn't they? The Yeshon Zul Katana Dahachad the Amash. She Kol Makom Shenemar Bia Eino Ela Acher Yerusha VYeshiva. So the first reason, no, they didn't, because it says that Kasher, when you come to the land, you should do this. So it sounded to them, they thought that you only chayiv in Korban Pesach once you get into the land of Israel. They thought they were potter all the time they were in Midbar. The time came, hech hikrivu gam Pesach zeh. So how did they do the one time?
Yeah, why? Why would they do
right?
That?
They shouldn't have done any then. Should be and also right here, they're going to do a Korban Pesach with Yehoshua. They haven't captured the land yet. So they shouldn't have to do that one either. Well, maybe those two were exceptions to the rule. But wait a second. If they didn't have to bring a Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach only started when they captured the land of Israel, so why is this embarrassing?
Good question.
So he said that is one answer. So he offers the answer that says what? They offer the answer that says, well, the embarrassment was that they had to run around for 40 years. They were supposed to go in right away. So the fact that they didn't bring a Korban for 40 years, yeah, that makes sense. You don't bring the Korban for 40 years. On the other hand, you know, the fact that you had to run 40 years, that's embarrassing. Answer number one. Oh, dear Shlomo, the Sfilon, ki hai time amr, the bia, kosov, gabi, tfilon, mashma, also, mitzvah, seve, sushi, beshvila, tikhanos, la'aretz. V'chein, mashma, bia, the ksiv, gabi, pesach. So the second possibility is no. They had to do it. It says, when you talk about Bia, when it talks about going into the land, it means it, not that when you go into the land, you should bring a Korban Pesach. It means that if you bring Korban Pesach, you'll be able to go into the land. Okay, so Vim Toma, Vim Kein Lama Lo Asu, Kein Pesach Echad. So if that's the case, we're back on the problem. So why didn't they bring the Karbesa? Yeshlomas Fisha Haya Rubim Arelim. Oh, now we're secretarying. So the reason they didn't bring a Korban Pesach is because they didn't have a Bris Mila. Right? And
in
someone
the 40
who's
years.
What?
In the 40 years.
In the 40 years.
So why did they bring the first one?
What? Because the first one were for the people, they went and they had a Bris Mila right when they left. But then they stopped doing Bris Mila.
Okay.
So that's the embarrassment. For 40 years, they didn't give a Bris Mila. It means that they were right. If you don't have Bris Mila, right. So that's so taka ramalo molu. That's what Tosfos says. Because when they were there, there was a northern wind that was constantly blowing, and the northern wind would have been dangerous for the children. What? What? Right, correct. So what does it say now? Because the wind didn't blow from the north, right? Therefore, there was somehow some danger involved, given the situation. And that's why no one had a Bris Mila. Now, if you tell me, aha, when we talk about the fact that they had a communal Bris Mila when they left Mitzrayim, then they stopped doing Bris Mila for the next 40 years. So then it makes sense. Here, I want to give a second Bris Mila. It doesn't mean I want to give the second Bris Mila on the same people. It means that I want to have a second communal Bris Mila.
For those who never had it.
Right. Just like 40 years ago we did it. Now we're out of the Midbar.
So I should ask Gaber if he doesn't do the Mila if there's a northerly wind.
You should ask him.
What's that about?
What? I don't
Another
know.
Reason is
Go
the
out and check the weather report before you do the Bris.
Mm-hmm. Which would have fostered...
the umpire.
Which would have fostered recuperation. Did not
he
blow in the wilderness.
Bend.
Although it would have been a simple matter for God to perform whatever miracle would have been necessary to make circumcision possible, God did not do so because the circumcision could have been performed later, as indeed it was, and because he does not wish to change the nature miraculously unless it's absolutely necessary.
Thank you. Those words, that was Patty Zetlin quoting the words of Arthur J. Scroll. So, there you have it. So again, this is approach number one. Approach number one is when we says, shuv, have another second milah, it means a second public milah, mass milah, that they had way back in the day.
So, wait a minute, were the Levi'im circumcising in the desert?
They were circumcised, yes.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
All right.
The Medrash points out that Yehoshua doing this actually works out well because Yehoshua, in fact, was involved 40 years ago. Looking at the Medrash number 6, Rabbi Brechia Tani Rav B'Shem Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Moshe Moel Aaron Parev Yehoshua Mashke. According to the first opinion, the people who performed the Bris Mila originally was Moshe, Aaron, and Yehoshua. Yeshomim Yehoshua Moel V'Aaron Pareya U'Moshe Mashke. And according to one of the opinions, in fact, Yehoshua himself was the original Moel 40 years ago.
Wow.
And now he's dusting off the old Izemel, and he's in fact back at it. And he says, "How did it v'shuv Moel b'nei Yisrael Shenis?" So he said to him, he says, "Listen," he says, "now I want you to do it." What does Shenis mean? Do it again, like you did it the first time. All right, Mikam Shemol and Rishon. The fact that he's trying to do it again indicates that he did it the first time as well. Vayomos b'nei Yisrael mau el givat harus amar Rav Levi makom she'asu so giva barus. He made a whole pile of foreskins. This, in fact, fits in well with the fact that Yehoshua is from which Shevet? What? Yosef's not a Shevet. Ephraim, very good.
Is it Ephraim?
It is Ephraim, correct. So the Targum on when Rachel becomes comes pregnant and gives birth to Yosef, it says, it's obvious for Yehoshua bar, and she became pregnant, she had a son. V'mat konash Hashem yos chisudi, that means konash Hashem cherpasi. V'hichtin osid Yehoshua b'reidi Yosef u'mixer yos chisuda de Mitzrayim me'al b'nei Yisrael u'mixer yosom me'ibra yiryardena. Because just like my cherpa was taken away from me, so too Yosef's going to have a great-grandson named Yehoshua, and he's going to take away Cherpas Mitzrayim. He's going to do the Bris Milah when they leave Egypt, and he's going to lead them across the Yarden. Embarrassment? Shame? Shame, I think, is probably the word. One more Medrash, which again points in this direction of Yehoshua having a strong connection to the Milah. Roman Emra Eret told us Yaakov Yosef. Why does it say these are the children of Yaakov Yosef? Yosef Domalavi. Yosef was similar to his father. How so? Becholdover. My Yaakov Nolad Mohol, Af Yosef Nolad Mohol. That Yosef, in fact, was born already with the Bris Milah.
As was Yaakov.
Correct.
As was Moshe, I think.
What?
Was born with the Bris Milah?
We said here Yaakov and Yosef.
Jacob and
Joseph.
Were both
yes, that is correct.
Not
okay. Right, so again, these,
wait,
this is...
Why do we think that?
Because we just read it in number 8.
I'm saying, where does
the
that...
The Medrash. That is a primary source.
Throughout the journey in the desert for 40 years, we have many examples of encounters between a Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, correct?
Yeah.
Torah, other times. Some of them did not have a bris.
So Matan,
how could they be in the
so Matan Torah is very beginning, right? They all had a bris, but when they left Mitzrayim.
Okay.
So Matan Torah is 7 weeks
the first
later.
First year, okay, fine.
Fine. What then what?
In
what else?
The 20th year, when new people were born and they didn't have a bris.
Yeah, but when did Akash Baruch Hu talk to them
but
then?
Many times the Torah says, Vayerach Kvod Hashem, and you know, and so
not
on.
Not so many times. Not so many times. Yeah, he spoke to Moshe.
20 years, Akash Baruch Hu was speaking to Bnei Israel. They were in the desert, seeing the Amud Anan and the Asian. Some of them were Arelim. They were not...
So,
most of them.
I don't know if that's a problem. Bringing a Korban Pesach is a problem. But being spoken to by Akash Baruch Hu,
right.
Nor does it say...
I think Bilam was able to.
All right, there you
go. Right, they said, no fell nine because he is an Aruch. He used to fall down, but he still spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Rashi says there. So this is all within approach number one. When it says that you should go be more Shainis, it means we're going to do another big one. Okay?
But
yes?
Like I've watched Aver do several.
And?
After you cut it off, like, there's more to cut?
So is that a question?
Yeah.
So is that a question?
I'm not standing in line for a second
brick. It's not a second brick. Falling over.
I don't think you have any volunteers in this room.
It's not a second occasion for doing
Mila. Second
mass. Right. That's approach one. So again, if we stop now, you'd be happy. Now I'm about to upset you. The Gemara in Yavama still has a second approach. The Gemara in Yavama says, "Amar Rav Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Lo Nitna Priyas Mira LaAvram Avinu Shnemar BeEisahi Amar Hashem Yeshua Aserecha Charvos Tzurim." So he says that when it comes to the Bris Mila, there's really two parts. There is an outer foreskin, and that's the Bris, and then there is some sort of inner layer, that is the Priya, right? So he says, according to this Gemara, that when Avram Avinu, back in Parshas Lech Lecha, was given the mitzvah, it was just to remove the foreskin, called the Mila, but not the Priya. The Priya was introduced here. Not Prius, Priya. Right? Why, he says, He says, "Vadina." See, because it says here, give them a bris. Vidilma hanachomo. The Gemara says, "You think these people didn't have a bris?" So we could have said, "Oh yeah, that's what the other opinion said." It says that they were. What do you mean, give them, do it again? He said, okay, everybody, you all had a bris milah. We have an update. Come on back. We're going to do, and we're going to do, right?
Milah to the local tailor.
So can one see that? From a foreskin, can you see that?
So this is a totally different approach, right? This approach is not saying that we're going to do another massive because all these people need, but rather, no, everybody who has a milah is now going to get a priya on top of it. Now, Tosfos there asks a good question. I thought Avram kept all the mitzvahs, so why did Avram do a priya also?
Right.
Tosfos appreciates your support. He did volunteer. But wait a second. How can you add a mitzvah at this point in history?
Seems weird.
Right? You know, Nevi'im can't go and start adding mitzvahs. So Yeshua Darachosh Misina Hubi Yeshua Asmachayakra. No, it was always kind of out there that we knew at some point this would happen, and he put it in the pasuk. So, better question than answer. So again, this is approach number two. There are those who follow that. Take a look at the Medrash number 11. Same question that Yossi just asked. They were Arayim at the time. Chas v'sholom, nimolom hayu. Oshol k'takanok v'yu karsim amira v'yu parin asamira. The problem was that it wasn't the perfect one. They had done the mila, but they haven't done the priya. V'chomishahu mal v'lo parin asamira k'ilu lo mal. So he said, if I just do the mila and I don't do the priya, so as if I did nothing. Akachom akash bachu lo mulom hayu sol kadmo. K'shabal ha'i tisom akash bachu yeshua ina tayodeya she'in sol nimolom k'tikunim. So God says, listen, you know we've got a problem here. The Moel's union hasn't been doing a good job. You need to step in here and fix them. We're going to have a recall at this point, and they're all going to come back to the dealer, and we're going to make some minor alterations. And he got the Moel until he made an entire mound out of it.
Just from the priyas now.
What?
Just according to this,
right.
Priyas, the whole mound.
But again, we're dealing with 600,000 men between the age of 20 and 60. Just, you know.
It's hardly any substance to the priyas.
But you multiply by a million.
Is this as painful as a brit milah?
It doesn't hurt the mole a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it says we have v'hayu yisrael rochim es adam echasim oso be'ofer amidbar. And in fact, they took the blood and they put it under the dirt. And in fact, he said, "Kasher Bilam Veras Kol Amidbar Mali Meravos Same Shisro Amar Miyachol Amo Bezuchus Dama Mila Hazos." This Bilam was just so impressed. He said, "Forget it. We don't have a chance." Jim Mechusa BeOfer Arsh Never Mimana Offer Yaakov Mikani Skinu Chacham Shu Mechasim Es Orva Ves Adam BeOfer Haaretz. And I think to this day people do this. They take the foreskin and they put it in dirt. Yes. What? They buried in the backyard, right. Again, in our family, we don't do this.
If anything, you have a group from there, you'd
Mila, that is. Mila. That's because we don't have a backyard. Right. Manashach. Manashach, we don't do it, right. What? There we go. Okay. The Radak is not excited about this. He said there's some people say that in fact it's talking about the priya. He says no. So the Radak thinks Pashas they had a good bris. So we have here that there are two different approaches here.
So what's he saying exactly?
What?
What's he saying exactly?
He's rejecting. He doesn't like this idea that they had half-baked milas before Yehoshua came around.
Okay.
We'll get the Matsudas. David, however, Zeh Davar Rotzom is Hosiba Asher Yehoshua Levad Malas Kolam Vomo Zeh Zeh. So he asked the question, why did Yehoshua have to do all the milas? Couldn't he get someone else to maybe help out a little bit here? It's a lot of work. So he pointed out that everybody who had a mila from the first go around had already died. And therefore, it's only Yehoshua who had a bris. Maybe Kalev also. Interesting point the Meiri makes. I'll just throw this out there because it is related. Assuming that it's true that Avram Avinu did a Mila but not a Priya, and it was only added later, so what about the Pnei Keturah? Avram Avinu, first he has a son, his name is Yishmael. After he has Yishmael, he has another son named Yitzhak. After that, he has any more children?
Yes.
He has a slew of more children. Yes. The Bnei Keturah, right? Esav isn't his; it's his grandchild. Oh. So what's with these Bnei Keturah? So Avram is told that you and your children have to do a circumcision. So these are his. Yishmael was born beforehand. Okay, he doesn't necessarily have to, but these children of Keturah, they should all have to, right? So the Meiri points out, yes, they have to, but they only have to do Mila, not Priya. Because at the time of Avram Avinu, that's all that there was. They're only responsible for what Avram got, not what Yehoshua got later. Okay. So Asei Lecha, the Radak says, Takein v'achein k'mo v'yimara la'asos. He says, Gei Yisav Rei, Pirush, Lecha la'asos, hu mo v'achim imo, ki lo yitach Yehoshua v'adol mo k'arayim. So the Radak says, it's impossible. Like yes, he said, How you can't humanly possible one guy do so many milas? Chevo charvos tzurim.
It's a moyel's dream.
Right, what a job.
It's a nice paycheck at the end.
That's what I'm saying. It's a moyel's dream.
That's what I'm saying. Not to mention the tips.
Okay, yeah. Old joke. You couldn't resist that one.
Yep, sorry.
There were no tips.
So they.
Thank you.
So he said, in fact, the word charvos tsurim, you'll note, sounds very
plural.
Right? Meaning it's not just one, it's many. He said, this is all done in 4 days. So let's say 600,000. Let's go for the low number. 150,000 a day. So if he does, let's say, 24 hours a day.
He must have a very long knife.
Right, so get 24 hours a day, right? If you have to do 150,000,
wow.
So you're dealing with, that's what? 6,000 an hour, which is 100 a minute.
Not possible.
What? So you have to do 100 a minute nonstop for 4 days.
It's not possible.
Maybe not for you. Right, so the Radak says that, no, come on. I will see with some level, right? It says when you have to, it means that you have to make sure it happens, Yehoshua, not that you actually have to do them all yourself.
Like the father.
Correct. According to some opinions, that's true. Right? It's a question whether the father is obligated to do the bris, and therefore, and he'll hire a moel if he can't, or no, his obligation is just to make sure it gets done. And there's no difference
but
for him.
He knew how to do it. He had to teach people.
So let's say, so he taught.
Okay.
See one, do one, teach one.
Mm-hmm. There it is.
100 people to do it.
Now, back to the idea of the lack of northern wind. Right? So we said that his lack of northern wind was dangerous. On the other hand, wait a second, what about the Levium? So the Gemara in Yevamah says, but Midbar, my time of Omo. So it says, why didn't they give a bris mila when they were in the Midbar? Some people say the traveling was too much. It's because the northern wind did not blow. The Tanya, Ho Osan Arbim Shana Shiso Midbar, O Nishbahim Rotzfanis. Why didn't the north wind blow? One might time up. Ibrahim Ema Shim Dinazufim Havu Vibrahim Ema, the Lo Nivdor Ananea covered. Either because God was angry at them, or they didn't want to blow away the Ananea covered, so there was no wind. Amar Papa Hilcha Yoma de Eva Vyoma de Shuta, the Lo Marin Bey Vroma Silkrin Geva, either the Dashu Bey Rabbim Shem Psoim Hashem. He said, well, what about nowadays? Do we worry about this? Said, we don't worry about it anymore. Because no one's worried about it. Show me Psoy Mashem, God's work stays out for us. This Sforno has a radical statement here. This is a very controversial Sforno. This Sforno at the in Parsha Zos HaBracha, all the Ten Torah, says in the Brach of Levi, Vesbanovro Yadaki Shamru Emersecha. What does that mean? He didn't know his children because he followed your Torah. So what does it say? Lo hikbid achaye banu bamidbar. They didn't care about the lives of their children in the desert. K'day lishmor imrasecha, in order to fasev, v'havim mitzvahs milas habanim, afim shoyi meisim rabim mehem. That they kept on doing it, even though lots of the kids were dying. So that is a radical statement. That is a very radical statement. That, in fact, it is a minority statement, to put it lightly.
But if they were doing it in the desert and kids were dying,
that's what the Sefar knows.
His commentary.
Well,
then they wouldn't have needed the second Milah.
Well, the Leviim didn't. It's only talking about the tribe of Levi.
I see.
The Chasam Sofer.
Small
shaver,
maybe that's the reason.
Kol zman shalai O davar achak yotzvah. V'nichnas bechadrei v'mishkanei hayiradim animolim. V'neis zeh nasal menach avim kol mehem shana v'muchuyavim ramol. So he says that there was a miracle that happened, that the Leviim would get this breeze in their tents. So that's why the Leviim had to do it. So again, not that the kids were dying, but they didn't have the problem. What's the reason for this? Well, let's be honest here. Why did God do this? Because he was upset at Bnei Yisrael. Why was he upset at Bnei Yisrael? Because of the Meraglim. Who was the spy that was sent by Levi? Not Yoshua.
So then it's Caleb?
Not Caleb. Yoshua went from Ephraim. Caleb went from Yehuda.
So who did they see him?
No? Anybody? Jenny, what do I pay tuition for? who was the miracle one from Levi? None. They didn't send one. They didn't participate in this.
Thank you, Jenny.
Right? So they didn't participate in it. Therefore, they never had the problem. Right? They didn't do the Aveira. They weren't Nizufim. So they didn't have the problem with the Ruach Tzafonis. So therefore, they could keep on giving a Bris Mila. Right? So he says, therefore, that's the chassid. So they weren't killing off their kids.
Yeah, that's too weird.
Right? They just didn't have the problem. So he said, the other people, they weren't allowed to. The Levim didn't affect them. Take a look at Rashi. Right? Rashi, Bris Chayin Saru, on the same pasuk as the Sforno, Bris Mirash Osim Shnol Bamidbar Shal Yisrael, Rashi just says that they gave a bris milah. He doesn't comment one way or the other. Just puts it out there, doesn't say. You're excused.
Circumcised. None of them got sick, they got infections or anything.
No, they were experts. Samurai Moel. Done. Okay, so that's the second pasuk. We're doing great here. We'll pick up the pace a little bit here.
It's also put in a weird place.
What? Right. So
the
again,
second pasuk is in a weird place.
But that's what we have to work it at. Okay. Right. And again, we have to discuss what are these charvos tsurim, and then what is molas bnei Yisrael shenis. Two very different approaches to that. So in fact, he does it and everyone gets a bris milah. in this valley of the foreskins. Zeh davar asher mo Yoshua kol ha'am hayotzim Mitzrayim v'zecharim kol anshei melchama meisu b'midbar b'derech v'tzeisim Mitzrayim. So remember, everybody, all the people had left had already died out. Kimurim hayu kol ha'am hayotzim v'chol ha'am hayotzim b'midbar b'derech v'tzeisim Mitzrayim lo malu. So he said, so the ones originally did have a bris milah, these did not have a bris milah. Right? This simple reading is more like the first approach.
Right.
So, for 40 years they wandered about because they had sinned, and now they have an opportunity to go into the land of milk and honey. Vesbeneim hekim tachtum osa mol Yoshua kerim hayu kilo mola sambaderech. So now the children of those people who died out, because they weren't able to have a bris milah while they were on the road, Yoshua is giving them a bris now.
But they're not really on the road for 40 years.
Well, again, they are to the extent that they never know when they're going to start
when
going
to
again.
Travel.
And then they sit back and feel a little better afterwards. They wait until they are healed. So correct. He said, now I have removed the shame of Mitzrayim, and with that it is called Gilgal. Now, let's take a step back. Let's look at Rashi in number 20. Given that we're running a little later, I'll start saying things outside. And he says as follows. It says, Ra'u kira neged p'neichem. So what happens is, when B'nai Yisrael are leaving Egypt, and Paro is changing his mind, he decides he wants them back. So he is told, Ra'u ki ra nege p'neichem. So, kitargumo, medrash agada. So he says, he quotes a medrash, Rashi says as follows. The advisors, the wizards of Egypt, tell Paro, don't worry. Why? Because ki ra'a nege p'neichem, because we see a constellation called Ra'a, which sounds an awful like, a lot like Ra, right? The Egyptian sun god. Coming to greet them in the desert. And that indicates that there will be blood for them in the desert. So therefore, don't worry, they're not going to get anywhere. They're going to die in the desert. Therefore, when they go and they do the Egel Hazav, they call the golden calf, Moshe Dabz, he says, Lama Yomam Mitzrayim Leimor, Bera Hotziyam. So he says, why should the Egyptians say when you wiped them out, ah, we were right, it was Ra that killed them. And therefore, when God backs down, Vayinachem Hashem al Hara'a. So therefore, God goes and he says, okay, I back down, I'm not going to destroy them. V'hafach hadam l'dam milah. The blood that they saw will not be the blood of the destruction of Bnei Israel, but it will be the blood of the Milah. Shemo Yoshua son v'zeu shenema hayom galosi escher patz Mitzrayim aleichem. And Rashi in Sefer Shmos points to say, says, and now the shame that Mitzrayim was going to say that you died in the desert is gone because this is the blood. So that's...
It's actually building.
Right. Correct. Okay, so that's next one part of the parak. Next part of the parak. Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael b'Gilgal v'yasu es ha-pesach b'arba asar yom l'chodesh b'erev v'arvos yiricho. Okay, now, again, they crossed over on the 10th day of Nisan. 4 days later, it's Erev Pesach. Oh no, I didn't even have time to clean up. What am I going to do? Honey, we have to go to the Biltmore. What's going on here? So in fact, he said
they just got there. They didn't have time to.
They didn't have to. That's right. They don't have time. They didn't have time to make a mess. They just unpacked their Pesach dishes right away, and they were good to go. So with that, here it is. 4 days later, you have to bring the carbon Pesach. So, in fact, that's what they're doing. They're bringing the Korban Pesach. And they did it right outside of Yericho. Vayochu me'avor ha'aretz mimachos ha'pesach matzos ve'kogui be'etzem ha'yom hazeh. And then, mimachos ha'pesach, they go and they ate matzos and kogui. What's kogui? Kogui is roasted wheat kernels. So why did they eat that?
Because they couldn't find enough lamb for 600,000.
No, the reason is as follows. Because what happens, what do we do on the second day of Pesach? We start
counting
the Omer. Why do we start counting the Omer? Because the Korban Omer. And what was the Korban Omer done, brought for? To matir chodesh. It will allow you to, up until that Korban, you cannot eat the grain from that year. So therefore, here we are on the second day of Pesach, and now we're going to be allowed to eat the new grain. So they said that they made it to that point, and now they brought the Korban Omer, and now they can eat the grain of Israel.
Where do they have new grain at this point?
I assume...
Well, they're just walking into the land 4 days.
King Supers.
They haven't had time to plant and grow.
But someone else planted.
Right, so that's okay.
Someone else, yeah.
Okay.
So you can't have it before him. And therefore, now that we can eat the new grain, we don't need the mun anymore. So that was the end of the eating of the mun. They had brought over a certain mun across the Yarden. That was the end of it. And now they were able to eat regular grain as people normally do. Let's discuss this a little bit. There is a famous disagreement between the Purushim and the Tzedukim, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this was a major issue because it says, when is the Korban Omer supposed to be brought? So it says in the Chumash, it's to be Machras HaShabbos. We take that to mean Machras HaShabbos, the day after Yontif, right? The Tzedukim took it as Mimachos HaShabbos means it has to be Sunday. Wait a second. But Pesach doesn't always fall out on Shabbos.
Right.
So Taka, this year it did. Right? But that's a possibility, but not what? Funny how that works.
An extra what?
Next year also. He says Pesach will fall. But not every year.
Right?
So how does that work? So therefore, the Tzedukim would try to announce Rosh Chodesh in such a way that it would always end up that way. Right? And this became an ongoing problem because the standard rabbinic Judaism had to get the word out of Rosh Chodesh as quickly as possible. So, for example, they used to light bonfires, right? When it came a bonfire from one hill to the next hill The problem was the Tzedukim would go and do it on their days. And the once the first one is lit,
somebody else starts lighting.
Right? They all get, you can't stop it.
Right.
Right? It's Beferish in Lord of the Rings. Once the first one gets lit, they just keep on going. So this became an issue. They had to stop using that. So the question is, well, how are we so sure that the Macharas HaShabbos means that? So this pasuk becomes very important. Let's start with number 21, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Bo minei chavri merav kahana, omer shikrivi so b'chnisot li so mehechan hikrivu. Wait a second. A Korban Omer, you have to bring in a certain amount of grain. Right? What type of grain do you bring for the Korban Omer?
Barley.
Where did they get barley?
Right.
So Yossi said King Supers. That's one opinion.
In the land.
If you tell they bought it from the local non-Jews, so they're not allowed to do that for the Korban. So who said they brought a carbon? Maybe they didn't bring a carbon because they didn't have anything. And it says, no, they couldn't eat until after the Machras HaPesach. I mean, they had to be a carbon. They bought it when it was less than a third grown by a non-Jew. And then they let it grow the last little bit under Jewish ownership, and that was good. Okay. Tosfos has a very interesting. Tosfos asks a question from Harav Avram ibn Ezra. You don't see him get quoted in Tosfos all that often. The Ibn Ezra gets quoted. Hechi amirim brachas of Pesach, docha yeshisha asar ben Nisan. So he has a very interesting question. Mimachras ha-Pesach. What does mimachras ha-Pesach mean? So why does it mean the 16th? What day was the Korban Pesach brought?
The 14th.
So mimachras ha-Pesach should mean the
15th. But the problem is it says from
whose day? Well, who's this day? You're just suddenly dropping pronouns on me. You can't just randomly drop pronouns.
You can't do that.
Right. I would like a definition of they.
The day.
I remember one time I was speaking actually in Syracuse. This goes back a few years. And a guy raises his hand and said, but doesn't Chazal say dot, 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 dot? I said, it's a known fact when someone has no idea what they're talking about. They call it Chazal. Where is this Chazal, my friend? He said, busted. He just said that. Right? Who is this they that you talk of? Busted. So
what does it mean here?
Right? So he said, that's a problem because we machres ha-Pesach, right? Because let's look at the psukim. The psukim really sounds, when it talks about ha-Pesach, what does it mean? Vayasu es ha-Pesach bar-bar so yom ha-Chodesh. That was Yud. And they brought the Pesach, right? Vayachum evaros mi machres ha-Pesach. And then it says, they brought the Pesach on the 14th, and then Mimachras they ate. So doesn't that sound like the 15th? That's what Ibn Ezra is bothered by. Shemikra v'omer, Dilma Mimachras the Pesach, Mimachras Shchitas the Pesach. Right, so let's say, so again, the Pesach is slaughtered on the 14th. It's eaten on the 15th. So Mimachras the Pesach, is it after the day after the slaughter, or the day after the eating?
It's so, the change of day when the sun goes down. They slaughtered it before sundown and
correct.
They ate it after sundown.
Correct.
Which is the next day.
Thank you. But when did they bring the Korban Omer?
I don't know.
That was the question.
Sorry.
So
the 16th.
So in fact, that's the question. He says Shchitas ha-Pesach kama da'ayinu tesvah b'nishan z'ayinu nikrav ha-omer v'heichi nami ashkacham b'parashat ma'atzim v'machas ha-Pesach yosu b'nei Yisrael v'heim yatsu b'tesvah. He says, so in fact, when they talk about it, it says, by Machas ha-Pesach, they left Mitzrayim. Machas ha-Pesach means they left on the 15th. So v'omer b'nei atam da'ayinu machas ha-Pesach is ha-hach ha-ayinu tesvah b'nishan nami kamar v'hachi b'rishit d'krav ha-yochu me'ever ha-yom kumar min ha-yosha mi-machas ha-Pesach. He said, no, you're right, it means the 15th. But it says they brought the carbon on the 14th. They brought the carbon Pesach on the 14th. They therefore ate the old wheat on the 15th. And on the 16th, they could eat new. So it's really, there's 3 days involved here. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So he says, so you have to add a pasuk into a day into the reading here. So etzam hayom hazeh means the next day. The Sefer HaMakneh has a very interesting idea. The Sefer HaMakneh says as follows. He says that...
Who is that?
What?
The Sefer HaMakneh
is an Achron. They wrote a Perish on Kiddushin, and he also wrote other Svarim as well, well-known Svarim. And he writes as follows. He says that there's a difference between, we know there's a major difference between modern Hebrew and biblical Hebrew. He said there's also a difference between biblical Hebrew and Navi Hebrew.
More ancient?
But again, it's the same words can mean different things depending on how you use it. Right? That's one count. So he makes an interesting point here. I'm not going to go through it, but I'll just say it outside a little bit because it's a little bit important. According to, before Matan Torah, and this is the rule for non-Jews as well, so we assume that the day begins at sundown and lasts till sundown. In most of the world, they don't see it that way. Right? Right? A new day is dawned in the morning. Right? And the next day ends in the morning. He says, halachically, they're right. Right? For non-Jews, that in fact is the way that it works. So, according to at the time of the Torah, when we talk about Korban Pesach, slaughtering it and eating it, that was actually on the same day.
On their calendar, basically.
Correct, before Matan Torah calendar.
Got it.
Right? So that's why Machras HaPesach at that time meant one thing, but Machras HaPesach nowadays means another thing because the days are divided differently. So that's interesting because this happens to be a little bit practical. What do you do in the following case, right? Let's say there's someone who's not sure if they're Jewish. Happens all the time, right? I thought I was Jewish. Now my mom's conversion, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. You know, I didn't think I was Jewish, but now I find out. My grandmother tells me a story. What am I supposed to do, Rabbi? So if a Jew violates Shabbos, they are liable for the death penalty. If a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, they're liable for the death penalty. So what should this person do? Darned if you do, darned if you don't. So the suggestion based on this is as follows. What you should perhaps do is that if you're not Jewish, when is Shabbos?
When the day dawns.
It begins Saturday morning and goes till Sunday morning. So therefore, if the person keeps Shabbos but makes her on Saturday night to go out to the movies, they're set. Because if you're Jewish, you kept Shabbos. And if you're not Jewish, you violated Shabbos. And everybody's happy. So that's a little bit related to this. All right, very nice. The Rambam, again, we're way over time. Look at it inside. The Rambam uses these psukim to prove the Purushim right and the Tzedukim wrong. Quite usefully, if you take a look at it, he explains that here it's clear that it's not Machras HaShabbos, but talking about the same thing, it says Machras HaPesach. So what is Tzedukim going to do about this? And he said, if you tell me that it's Machras HaPesach, which happens to fall out on Shabbos, so why are you telling me the secondary reason? Right? So therefore, this is why the Rambam says it is just a simple understanding of the Psukim is that you begin the carbon omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. Whatever day of the week it is, it doesn't have to be Sunday. Okay, one last small point. As a by the way, number 25 says there are people on the second day of Pesach who have a special seuda, a special meal, at least something. Why? Because that was zecher to the seuda of Esther. That was when Esther made the meal for Haman and Achashverosh, which led to Haman being hung. The Prima Gadim said that is alluded to in our pasuk. It says, "Vayishbros Haman mimacharas." Right. So he said, "Miss Haman." He said that it's alluded to that he was done on the next day. He was done in. It's interesting.
Parshas Haman.
Parshas Haman, right?
And I always wondered, what is Parshas Haman doing?
So again, this is actually funny. The very first book that our school ever came out with, if you remember, this was the Hilchos Shabbos book, and in it they wrote that we have three meals on Shabbos to commemorate the three meals that Haman had, that Esther made for Haman, and people were very confused by this for many reasons. One is there's only two meals. Two is what does that have to do with anything? So they have a footnote, and they point to the Aruch HaShulchan. If you look at the Aruch HaShulchan says because of Haman, right? That art school, that's like the author most famous art school blew it in their first book. They got confused between Haman and Haman. So this would be it as well. Okay, let's finish the parak. So, Pasuk Yud, Vayachnu Yud Aleph. Vayochu me'over hayom imach supesa matzah zakar, I just did that. Good. Yud Gimel we're up to. Vayehi, Yos. Yoshua b'Yericho v'yisaina v'yarvine ish omed l'negdo v'charbo shlufa v'yado v'yech Yoshua erav v'yomo halonu ato l'tzareinu. So Yoshua is in Yericho and he sees a guy standing there with his swords drawn. So he walks over to him and said, are you for us or against us? I always tell my children, if you see someone with a sword drawn, don't walk over to them and ask if they're an enemy. But Yoshua obviously never got this type of upbringing. Vayomer lo ki ani sar tzvo Adonai ato bosi. Vayipo Yehoshua el panav arza vayishtach vayomer lo ma Adoni medaber al avdo. So he said, no, in fact, I am a general of God. With that, Yehoshua hits the deck, falls on his face, and he says, I have come for ato, for what is now. So he said, so what are you saying to me? Tazvav yomer satzva adonai el Yoshua, shal na'alecha me'aragecha ki ha'makom asher ata omed olav kodeshu v'yash Yoshua kein.
A lot of parallels to Moshe.
Correct. So he says to him, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. What in the world is going on here? So the Gemara in Megillah talks about it, and the Gemara in Megillah is talking about Megillah, as fate would have it, as it tends to talk about when it's in Megillah. And it says that when it comes time to hear the Megillah, you, in fact, stop the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and you stop learning Torah. So the Gemara says, how do I know this? So he says, well, we have a drasha. And says the drasha tells us that you don't do the avodah. So kal v'chomer, if I'm not going to do the avodah in the Beis Mikdash, of course I'm not going to learn Torah. So Gemara says, why is that a kal v'chomer? Why do you assume the avodah in the Beis Mikdash is more important than our shir? She says, third line, v'aksiv v'ayi b'yosh Yoshua b'yiricha v'yisayinu v'yayar v'yinei ish omer l'neddo v'yishtach l'apav. He said, so he goes and he sees him and he bows down. How's Yeshua allowed to bow down to an angel? That's not allowed. You don't have to say hello to someone in the middle of the night. Maybe it's a demon. So Shani Hasan Domareki Anitzar Tzavar Hashem. He said, no, the guy said, I'm the general of God's army. He said, yeah, you believe him? V'dilma Mishakri. Maybe he made it up. No one lies with the name of God. That's this week's parsha. Amalo, Emesh b'taltem Talmud shel Bein Arba'im v'Asher b'taltem Talmud Torah. The guy says, look what you guys are doing. You skipped the Karbanos, and now you didn't learn any Torah today. God's angry at you. Amoye, Ezer mehem basa. He said, so which one are you taka angry about? Is it about the Talmud, or is it about the Torah? Amalo, ata basi. I'm coming about what's right now. With that, Yeshua right away begins to learn Torah. So, Amar Rav Yochanan, Malami Shalom, Bar Umke Shel Halach, Amar Rav Shmuel, Bar Unia, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosef Me'al Kervas Tamidim, Shinemar Atta Basi. Said, so you see from there, he was more bothered by the Torah. You see, the Torah is more important than the things. Gemara says, Lo Kasha Hadarabim. No, that's only public Talmud Torah is more important than the Karbanos. But here, an individual can go. Tosfos is bothered by a few things here. He wants to know what's going on exactly in the story. Why weren't they bringing the... Okay, you guess it. Maybe you're busy. You couldn't couldn't learn Torah. But why did they stop bringing the Karbanos? Like, what? We don't ask that question. So he says that Kasha mai bitruhu, bishma tamatar, bitruhu fishu tsar mahayir. Okay, the middle of a battle, they weren't able to do daf yomi. I get it. Ava kohanim ma'aroi makrivim atamid. Why weren't the kohanim bringing their karbanos? Yeshlamo fisha aron mohaya bimkomo. It's okay, there's a different reason, because the aron wasn't where it was supposed to be. If the aron's not there, you don't bring the karbanos. Fine, that's the story. The drashas haran discusses the question about bearing down to balachim, which is definitely aser. So he says... Why is this allowed in this case? So he said that this is an exception, that there is a certain malach where it says, Kishmi Bikirbo, that God's name is within the malach, whatever that means. Right? We had that. So therefore he said, that's the equivalent of bearing down to Hashem, that's why this was allowed. Okay, as I said, this is a short parak, but there was an awful lot to say, and I hope we got most of it in.